Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
Josh McDowell is our speaker again this evening on BBN's Conference Pulpit as we continue with Teen Week. Josh McDowell is a Christian apologist, evangelist, and writer. Since 1960, he has written or co-authored over 150 books in over 125 languages. As an atheist in college, Josh decided to prepare a paper that would examine the historical evidence of the Christian faith in order to disprove it. However, he converted to Christianity because of his research. Part of Josh McDowell's speaking ministry has focused on youth issues such as purity and developing faith and character. He has addressed more than 46 million people, giving over 27,000 talks. Here is Josh McDowell with The Encumbrance of Pornography.
Tonight, it's going to be a little different type of talk and emotion and motive for giving it. Tonight is going to be the Word of God filtered through the heart of a father and a grandfather, of a man who has four incredible kids and 10 grandchildren, 10 and under. Most of you here, many of you here tonight are grandparents. You better listen carefully. And if you don't know how to use the web, you better write down the address where you can get all my notes, PowerPoint, graphics, everything, and pass them on to your kids and your pastor. And if you're not ready to write it down when it comes up, then your pastor and your kids will miss out on a lot. And you grandparents here better not turn your ears off. Some of the things I'm going to say you won't be able to believe, but if you've read any of my books, I document everything. You can go to my web and download it all free, pass it on to your kids, everything. But you grandparents better wake up. The world has changed around you. In Hebrews 12:1, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which has so easily entangled us. I want to address what I believe is the greatest encumbrance in the history of the world. I believe the theme that I'm going to speak on tonight is the greatest encumbrance in the 2,000-year history of the church. Few pastors talk about it. Few will mention it publicly. So I'm taking a chance. But somebody's got to do it. One of the history's greatest encumbrance to the church, and to me there's no question about it, is pervasive internet pornography. Folks, please, I beg you, listen to what I say. It's not because what I'm saying it, but it's because what is being said. Do you know the size of pornography? No, you don't. For example, just pages of internet pornography. In 1998, there were 14 million web pages. Whoa. In 2003, 260 million. 2006, 420 million. 2010, 500 million. 2012, 800 million. Now, there is 1.79 billion. Pages. Now this, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, wake up. Pastors say to me, oh, Josh, come on, we've always had pornography. I said, what are you, a man with your head stuck in cement? Yes, we've always had pornography, but we have never had such accessibility. Many of you grandparents can't realize all of this is just one click away. It would take one person at 2 minutes a page 4,083,000 days just to look at it. That would be 11,180 years for one person just to look at the pornography on the internet that's available to every kid one click away. More than 20 million websites, all pornography. You see, this is where a lot of older folks don't get it. You young people do. It's one click away. Just one click away. Of all the internet searches, 25% on pornography. Of everything in the world. Of all downloads, that, for you folks not familiar with it, that's printing off things, downloading it onto your mobile device, whatever. 35% of all downloads is pornography. A study that just came out says 30% of all internet activity is pornography. And here's the issue, folks. I'm a researcher. You read my books. You see, I research, I document. This is the first problem, and for 50 years, I've addressed almost every issue in the church. But there's no first problem. There is almost no difference between believers and non-believers when it comes to pornography. Do you hear me? From our pastors, our youth pastors, our young people, men, women who attend our evangelical church, there's almost no difference than the world around. 68% of all viewers of pornography are 25 years old and younger. Of 12 to 25 years old, 3 years ago, 72%. You know what the latest shows now? 78%. And these are kids sitting in evangelical churches. 90% of 8 to 16-year-olds have viewed at one time or another pornography. The largest consumer of internet pornography, 12 to 17-year-olds. Folks, do you get that? These stats are kids, people. The adult pornographic industry themselves says up to 30% of all viewers of pornography are children, not young people, children. The U.S. Department of Education, I had to take and weigh these statistics with the changes and everything and build on them, but 67% of 3 to 9-year-olds are online and 35% go to pornographic websites. Don't you dare to sit there and say, well, not my precious granddaughter. Yeah. It well can be. It well can be. The average age of exposure, this is heartbreaking, 8 years old now. I believe in most Christian homes, it's 4 to 6 years old. That's from my experience, not from stats. Stats says 8 years old. I believe it's 4 to 6. And almost always in a Christian home, you have a 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old, and you have a 7, 8, 9-year-old. Your 7, 8, 9-year-old, it's almost always by a sibling, introduces your younger child to pornography. And what's worse than that is when cousins come over. You have a child, 4, 5, 6, you have a cousin, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, they introduce the younger child right in the home. And parents are out to lunch. A global survey of 19,000 parents, it staggered those that took the survey, that children as young as 6 years old now are accessing porn on their own. 6 years old. Patricia Nell Warren, the lesbian journalist, wrote in The Advocate, "Whoever captures the kids owns the future." A very outspoken critic was on TV being interviewed. He said, "We won the homosexual agenda. We won the same-sex marriage war. And we will win the pornography war." I came up out of my bed and I screamed, "Not if I can help it! But if we don't do something, then we have no excuse." The Washington Post says up to 11 million teenagers regularly watch pornography now. 80% of 15 to 17-year-olds have been exposed to multiple times to triple X, the worst pornography there is. 80% of group sex, 83% of boys, 57% of all kids has seen group sex on the internet. 69% of the boys, 55% of the girls have seen same-sex intercourse. Don't you sit there and say, well, I can protect my kids. Not my precious daughter, not my precious grandson. Well, it's probably those grandparents that have that attitude that will lose their kids. Do you hear me? They did a study of university students. 93.2% of the boys, 62.1% of the girls had seen online pornography before age 18. Seventy-2% of born-again men in church visit pornographic sites. It's now up to 77% as of the last study. Now, this was years ago. At Promise Keepers, they did a study, and 53% reported visiting a pornographic website. Of everyone who went to Promise Keepers, all the leaders, pastors, 53% went to pornographic websites the previous week. 26% of regular church attenders. Now, listen to this carefully. This is going to strike home to some of you. 26% of regular church attenders are less likely than non-attenders to view pornography. Say, that's good. Listen to this one. Of those who identify themselves as Christian fundamentalists, conservatives, they're 91% more likely they're watching pornography than the average non-believer. Do you call yourself a fundamentalist? Do you call yourself a conservative? You're probably the number one demographic. Right in the church. 75% of pastors said they do not make themselves accountable to anyone for their internet use. I'd fire that pastor. That's why over half of this is way now, it's probably up to 70%. But this study in 2002, that's 13 years ago, at that time, 54% of evangelical pastors watched pornography. It's probably up to 70% now. But here's a heartache. Of evangelical fundamental born-again youth pastors, 80 to 90% watch pornography. The ones leading our kids. I pretty well wonder why a lot of church leadership and anything don't speak out about pornography, because they'd have a guilty conscience. Forty-7% of Christian homes now have a major problem with pornography. Two-thirds of divorces now, pornography. Another study by lawyers, 68%. Pornography increases a man's infidelity to his wife by 300%. Women make up 1 in 3 visitors to adult entertainment websites. Why? About 30% of Christian women, evangelical women, look at pornography. Women look at pornography, for the most part, not all, differently than men. Women look at it to see how to save their marriage. Isn't that pathetic? How degrading. The two biggest girls in pornography are women and young girls. You know why young girls are turning to it, just exploding? On how to get a boyfriend or how to keep their boyfriend. I tell young men, if you have to do that, that guy is not worth it. He's trash. Here's the problem. And you need to realize this when I get into the solution. Breaking addiction to pornography, which I put 11 hours a week, which is not much at all. Breaking addiction to pornography is far more difficult than heroin, cocaine, alcohol, etc. For a number of reasons, some. I wouldn't dare. I wish I could. But boy, would I get criticized if I told you the real reason why it's so hard to break. I don't dare to. But one is this. With drugs, heroin, cocaine, alcohol, to sustain your addiction, you need more. Not with drugs. Not with pornography. with pornography, having more doesn't help. You need different. That's what ends up to be child pornography. And then living it out. This is why pornography is the number one cause of sex trafficking of children. Why aren't people speaking out about it? Number one cause of rape, number one cause of sex abuse. Because they need novelty and they need different. But here's another reason. When God created us with the marvelous bodies that we have, He created in your brain a hormone, a chemical called norepinephrine. It's called the memory hormone. It's what many of the professionals call the paperclip hormone, because it's built into you to take an experience, an image, a feeling, an emotion, a hurt, a photograph, whatever, and to paperclip it to your memory for recall, often forever. And here is, for the average male, pornography flies by the internet. Within 20 seconds, norepinephrine is released, and that image is hooked into memory. In less than 20, you know what it is for a child? Kind of 11 and under? Whew. Norepinephrine, from everything I've researched, is released in under 1 second. About 0.78 seconds, it's released and attached to memory in a child. That's one of a number of reasons why it's so hard to break that addiction. The University of Montreal, Dr. Simone Lajeunesse, was asked to do a study of the university students of Canada on pornography. And they had to scrap the entire study. Why? In all of Canada, they couldn't find any university students and weren't watching pornography. And you have to have a control group. Same thing has happened in many parts of the United States. It just happened in Singapore, in Hong Kong. You can't find a control group. And I would say within 2 to 3 years, it'd be the same true in all of the United States. They can't do any more research on it because you can't find a control group. Pornography has replaced the school as a sex educator. It's replaced the home. This is sad, as a sex educator. It has replaced the church as a source of sex education. It's now the internet. Now I gotta be careful how I share this. A mother came to me of an 8-year-old. She said, "Josh, can you please help me?" A believer. She said, "I went up to see how my son was doing, 8 years old. I opened the door, walked in, and he had my smartphone, my cell phone. He goes like this." And immediately a mom knows something's wrong. Not all moms do, but they should. And she says, "Honey, what's wrong?" "Nothing. Honey, what's wrong?" He picked up her cell phone, threw, 8 years old, threw it across the room, said, "I'm a bad boy, I'm horrible, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad." She said, "No, you're not, honey." She picked up the cell phone. She said, "Josh, it was raw pornography. And there were 8 different sites he'd been going to." And I said, and she handled it right. She went over, sat down next to him, put her arms around him, kissed him, and said, "Honey, why did you look at this?" He went to a Christian school and said, "Well, Mommy, at school, everybody was talking. He used a slang term about the upper torso of a woman's body." And 8 years old, second or third grade, said, "Everybody was talking. I didn't know what it meant, so I Googled it." And up popped all the pornography. Another mom walked in on her 12-year-old. And what had happened, her computer froze, so she just, his son wasn't there at the time, took his computer to do something, and all of a sudden she found all these pornography sites. When the son came home and asked him, and said, "What are you doing there?" "Well, Mommy, I wanted to know what my body should look like at 12 years old. So I went in Google and I Googled child porn." He thought that was sex about teenagers. So he did, and he got hooked on child pornography. Another young man from a Christian school, I hear this every day. Another young man, father caught him on pornography, and I mean big time. Said, "Well, how'd you get started in this once he cooled down?" And he said, what? Everybody at school is talking about sex, and I didn't know what it meant. And so I Googled it. Google has now become the sex educator. Mom, Dad. Thirty-seven percent of 3 to 4 year olds, 87% of 5 to 7 year olds use their parents' tablets and smartphones. Do you know how many of them are getting hooked on pornography? It's sad. How do we lay aside this encumbrance that so easily entangles us and run the race to win? How do we lay aside this encumbrance? Because, folks, if we don't, we will pay the greatest price in history. We're already paying it. I don't know if we can reverse it. It's that big. What can parents do? What can grandparents do? One, if you're going to set aside this encumbrance so easy entangles us, you need to start very young. Don't ever say to a child, I don't care what question they ask you about sex, don't ever say, well, when you're older, because they will Google it. Do you hear me? If they're old enough to ask that question, they're old enough to have it answered. You have got to start young. We no longer ask, how should I prepare my child if they see porn? The intelligent basis is asking this question. How should I prepare my child for when they see porn? Because your precious little granddaughter will see porn. These mothers that come to me, many of them are homeschoolers and things, which I admire. But they say, oh, I can protect my child. I'll look at that mother and say, you're the problem. You will probably lose your child. If you think you can protect your child from seeing pornography, then you are the problem, Mom. You say, well, I pray for my child. Yeah, you should. They're going to see it. Well, I send him to a Christian school. Oh, good luck. My daughter, Katie, with the 3 boys, personality A, 5 and under, a few months ago, she sent me an email. It read like this. Dad, I now understand what you are saying. A lot of people don't get it. I cannot 100% protect my boys from seeing pornography. You can't. It'd be like trying to protect your kids in our culture from ever listening to music. What I must do as a responsible mother, oh, if every mother in every church, in every Christian home or anywhere had this attitude, we would be halfway to victory. She said, what I must do as a responsible mother is prepare them for the first time they see it. And they will see it. I don't care how much you pray for them, how much you teach them the Word of God or anything else, they will see pornography. And you better start young. By the first time they see pornography, you better have 2 things incorporated into their lives. One, you better have built a loving, intimate, safe family environment. You need to build that home environment where that child feels totally safe to ask mommy or daddy any question without shame, without judgment, without guilt, and without starting to quote the Bible. Because if you do not develop that, I guarantee you somebody else will talk to them and will start with Googling at 5, 6, 7 years old. You can't laugh. You can't say, oh, you're too young. You shouldn't be there. No, not anymore. Dr. Patricia Greenfield said, a warm and communicative parent-child relationship is the most important factor in reducing porn use among children. Your child can come to you with any
question.
And you will not shame them. You will not judge them. You will listen to them. Because if you don't, they will turn to someone else and they won't get the right answer. Here's the key. Truth without relationship. You can speak all the truth you want about pornography, setting aside the encumbrance, everything. Truth without relationships leads to rejection. Here's a phrase I'm probably known most for around the world is this. Rules without relationships leads to rejection. I'll tell you this. You start to talk to your son or daughter about pornography and you shouldn't do this and that and why, and you don't have a loving, intimate relationship with them, it probably won't work. Do you hear me? It probably won't work. Third, model your faith in real life time. Paul said, my children, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Live out your faith in a way, please hear me, live out your faith in a way your children will pursue it. When I wrote the book, Straight Talk About Sex, there's a lot of good books out there on that, but most of them are not written about the context of the internet and pornography, and they miss the point. The internet has changed everything, everything. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, it says, and you know that the way we lived among you was further proof. Ooh, that gets my attention. Proof? Evidence? Man, I'm an apologist. Further proof of what? The way I live among you, among my children, is further proof of what? Listen to this. Of the truth of our message. In Romans 15, 18, it says, I brought my children to God by my message. Fathers never then said, yes, we have family devotions, teach the word of God. We make sure my kids pray. We make sure they read the Bible. If that's all you do, kiss it goodbye. Do you hear me? Kiss them goodbye. Listen to what Paul said. I brought my children to God by my message and by the way I lived before them. We must live in a way, in intimacy, everything, in a way that our children want to pursue our faith. Folks, do you understand? If our children don't have that, man, it's not that you can't win, but it's a hard uphill battle. In Hardwired to Connect, a study that combined about, I think it was 260 scientific studies of young people. And when they released it, they said that this was a scientific study by Dartmouth Medical School. And it said this, to impart one's value to, this is science speaking, to impart one's values or truth to an individual, one must, one, develop a loving, intimate connection with that child. Second, model the very truth or value you want to see ingrained in that child. Fourth, by 5 years old, most of you grandparents think I'm out to lunch, don't you? 5 years old? Yeah. It's a different world, Grandma and Grandpa. Wake up. By 5 years old, a child has to have a grasp of sexuality. See if I can communicate this. Our kids must have a concept of the original, or how can they detect a counterfeit? You with me? If they don't grasp the original of God's plan for sex, how beautiful it is, how wonderful, how lovely. It's something worth pursuing. If that hasn't been built in, at 5 years old, it's for according to the child, their emotion, it's a different level, everything. Fathers, listen to the mother, they're usually pretty good there. If it's not built into the child and original, they cannot detect a counterfeit. That's why I believed I had to build an original concept of God's beautiful gift of sex and our sexuality. The last study, 75% of parents have never discussed internet pornography with their kids. Don't go blaming Hollywood or anyone else. What can a parent do to set aside this encumbrance? Look for teachable moments. This is one of the greatest things of being a daddy. Look for teachable moments. What's a teachable moment? It's a moment, it's an opportunity, it's a situation that you can normally, in a very relaxed way, spin off in teaching a very important truth about sexuality, about pornography, whatever. For example, I cannot tell you how many times I've beamed my kids, and here would come a really pregnant mother. And I'd always almost say, "Isn't that beautiful, honey?" to my daughters and my son. She's pregnant. Do you know how she got pregnant? Boy, initially I heard some interesting comments. The sun shined in her head and it got warm. Thank God that's not true. I live in California. But look for those moments. Something happens at school. A girl at school gets pregnant or something else, or someone gets caught hooking up or something else at the school. Christian school I'm talking about. Just use that. Very normal. What do you think of that, honey? Do you think that's good? It's wrong? What do you think? And just take that just for a moment and have that. That's how you build convictions in the original. 10 seconds here, 30 seconds there, a minute here, 20 seconds here. In teachable moments. Folks, you've got to do it. It's got to become where it's normal. Like my kid said, my dad always talks about it. And that wasn't negative. In our family, it was normal. Why shouldn't it be? It's one of the most beautiful things God created. And if I don't believe that, how could my kids ever grow up and believe that? If I don't love what I have with their mother, why would they want what I have with their mother? My kids aren't stupid. If my parents waited and they got this kind of a marriage, then why should I wait? What can parents do? Number six, small talks. Short daily conversations that are positive, wonderful, and godly about sex. I got to tell you, some of my greatest conversations with my children was not just about Jesus. It was about sex, about pornography, about love. Living in a religious culture is no guarantee that this plague of pornography will not find you. Dallas, Texas, this is sad. Dallas, Texas has some of the best and some of the largest churches in the world. Dallas, Texas, last year, was number two in the entire world in pornographic downloads. Sending your kids to a Christian school, which, boy, I believe in. I believe in homeschooling, and I believe in Christian schools, and I like most charter schools. But the Christian school is not a barrier to pornography. You say, well, my child won't have a computer. Oh, get real. Well, at a certain age, they shouldn't. But all this stuff, well, my child won't have a computer. Look, Mom, what about your child's friend? His computer, her computer. You have no control over that. Now it's almost 60% of pornography is on a handheld device. Well, my child won't have a smartphone. You know, that sounds pretty good, but what about your child's friend's smartphone? You don't have control over that, Mom. Whether it's a Christian school, a church, whatever. Do this, number seven. Ask your church. I can't imagine a church that hasn't already done this, but ask your church to conduct a tech web internet safety seminar. I don't know why every year a church does not bring in, with the influence of the internet today, bring into the church, or two or three smaller churches come together and bring in an expert and let them teach on the internet the impact of it, how to protect your children going on the internet, everything. You can't do it alone. I can't. I needed help. Go to your pastor and say, download my PowerPoint, give it to him and say, Pastor, can't the church sponsor a tech-savvy seminar for a parent like me, a single mom, a single dad, whatever? Because do you realize what can happen on the internet? Do you know how many devices kids can go on and pull down pornography? And they do. For example, desktops and laptops, you all know that. Smart TVs. Do you have a smart TV? And go right to pornography on it. E-books. Gaming systems. Xbox. Did you know in Nintendo and Xbox you can go right to pornography and download it? Parents just let their kids alone with Xbox and Nintendo's everything. With PSB. This is a little headpiece called Oculus. Facebook bought it out several years ago for $2 billion. Wasn't even developed yet. They put a few hundred million into it. It's now out. This is a demonstration model. This right here is going to take literally pornography from here to here. This is mainly a gaming device. There's five companies working on it, four of them for pornography. It becomes a virtual reality. This will take pornography to a realm where a man would rather desire this than is a woman. This is scary. This is. But it's also wonderful. You talk to gamers that game with it, it's incredible. But everything that has a good has a bad. This right here would change the world. And then, this is called virtual reality, and then the one by Sony. The Sony 3D headset. See, it isn't that guy? I wish I'd had time to play the video. The guy puts it on, he'd never done it before. He leans back and says, I won't use the language. He said, oh my, blank, 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 blank. This is incredible. I'm in another life. And that's going to be pornography. Real life experience. From that into the navigational systems on your car. Most of them you can pull right down pornography. Kids know how to do it. iPhone, iPod, iPad, the Sony Dash, pull down pornography. The smartwatches, one click away, pornography. Wearing right there, a wearable device. Kids' Polaroid. I haven't checked this out yet, like these, but many of the kids' cameras you get that they can upload pictures and everything, they can also manipulate it for pornography. You need to become tech savvy. Ask your church to help you. Pocket porn. Right here. Kids, children, teenagers are walking around with an X-rated theater. They don't need an ID to get in or anything. All you need? A thumbprint. And I could instantly be right on pornography. You had to be 21 to go to a triple X theater. Now, kids are carrying around their pocket. Do you know the implications of that spiritually for the church? A third of teens carry portable X-ray theaters, 30-some percent. One in three kids ages 11 to 14 have viewed pornography on a mobile device. This is where it's at now, folks. This and wearable. Everything in the future be all wearable. Technology. You know how many multi-millions of smartphones are out there? The latest study, quite an accurate one, 21 out of 4 have downloads of pornography on the smartphone. That's as much Christian as non-Christian. By the end of 2015 this year, pornography on tablets are supposed to triple. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, get ready. It's here. Here's some practical advice to wrap it up. How do we set aside this encumbrance? Keep the computer in a public place. Never put a computer in your child's room, teenager, whatever. That's irrational. It's a poor decision. Keep it in the kitchen, a public place, where anyone at any time can see what's there. Then, provide an area at your door for mobile devices. What? Yeah, have a box there. A lot of families do this. When your kids come home, anyone else come home, they put their mobile device right in there. What if I had to call my mother? Then tell them. Then go stand at the door, take out your phone, call your mother. I'll tell you this. That would totally backfire on you unless you have the most incredible, loving, intimate relationship with that child and they pursue your faith. You won't get away with that. Make sure that you have the right to check online history. If you don't, then there's something wrong. But I'll tell you this, and you kids know, if those kids don't have a loving, intimate relationship with their mom and dad, that will backfire big. Teach your child basic internet safety skills. Ask your church to help you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "The pursuit of purity is not about the suppression of lust." Oh, I love this. "But the reorientation of one's life to a larger goal." I'll guarantee you this. Unless we raise our children with a larger goal, with greater aspirations, with a faith in our own lives they want to pursue, I want what my daddy has with my mother, I don't know how we're going to win. You can't fight pornography by discipline. Now, you can use that, but we've got to fight pornography by a greater aspiration, by a greater original. And it is. Oh, man, what I have with my wife for 44 years, I wish every single kid I've ever met in any church will eventually have it with their spouse, not with Oculus. There's not a woman in this church that can compete with pornography. You cannot compete with pornography. Provide a model, an aspiration, an original that is lived out in our lives, so biblically based with God's love, God's purpose, God's design, that our children say, "That's what I want." It's like an athlete are willing to put aside drugs, some of them, put aside sugar, other things, put aside this and that for a greater goal. That's the only way we'll beat pornography. You young people, hear me. Be careful who you marry. You know what I say to you young ladies? When you ever get serious about a guy, in a casual time, like, you know, out to dinner at McDonald's, just very casually say, look this fellow in the eye and just very casually say, "Do you watch pornography on the internet?" Girls, if he even blinks, walk away. If he even hesitates, or if that guy, and I don't care if it's a Christian guy, says the dumbest, stupidest, is there anything stronger than stupid? Idiotic thing like, "Well, not very much." No guy doesn't watch it very much. And then they'll say this, "Well, I'll stop when I get married." Oh no, well, it'll destroy you. If you don't walk away from that relationship, then don't ever complain. You will never ever have what I have with Dottie. Back off, girls. Here's the problem. I probably shouldn't be saying that. You know why? It's going to kill the church. It's going to kill marriage. If you make pornography, which I think you see, as a deal buster, there's not going to be much marriage in church. Now, when 78% of Christian guys watch pornography. They set aside every encumbrance. I want to close with this. Dr. Frederick Douglass said, It is easier to build strong children than repair broken men. We've got to start young. I've always put it this way. It's better to put a fence at the top of the cliff than an ambulance at the bottom. If we're going to set aside this company... Now, please. This all must be bathed in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures. I know you weren't intending to hear something like this tonight. But if you truly want to talk about setting aside an encumbrance, then you better deal with pornography. I hope tonight it's given you a little insight on both the problem, the extent, and the answer. But most of the time, the answer is going to come back to relationships.
Strong words, but needful words from God's Word tonight in the message from Josh McDowell. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does easily beset us, that we might be able to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Perhaps your greatest need is of God in your life tonight to repent of your sin, to gladly receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Make sure of your salvation tonight. You can do so by going to bbnchat.org, bbnchat.org. You'll find the plan of salvation and how to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight. bbnchat.org.
That concludes this feature. We have many resources for you here at BBN. Click resources at our website, bbnradio.org.